This spot is brought to you by Eaton Vance, the symbol of advanced investing. What's inside your ETF? With Eaton Vance High Yield ETF, you know. Inside, you'll find smart bond selection from a specialized team with deep fixed income expertise. Get to know what's inside EVHY, the symbol of high yield done right, at eatonvance.com/symbols. Before investing, prospective investors should carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. The current prospectus contains this and other information and is available at eatonvance.com. Read the prospectus carefully before investing. Not FDIC insured. Offer no bank guarantee. May lose value. Not insured by any federal government agency. Not a deposit. Investments involve risk. Principal loss is possible. Distributed by Foreside Fund Services, LLC.
U.S. markets plummet to new lows for the year. What's driving the dive? And House Republicans lay out their plan to flip the House with a marquee event in the battleground state of Pennsylvania.
And what we're going to roll out today is a commitment to America. In Washington. Not Washington, D.C., but Washington County, Pennsylvania.
Plus, why collectors are jumping at the chance to own golden mementos of Hollywood royalty. It's Friday, September 23rd. I'm Daniela Cheslow for The Wall Street Journal, filling in for Anne-Marie Fertoli. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that move the world today. Sharp sell-offs marked a grim day on Wall Street to cap off a rough week. The Dow slid more than 400 points, or 1.6%, closing at 29,590, its lowest level this year. The S&P 500 dropped about 1.7%. The Nasdaq fell 1.8%. Wall Street Journal markets reporter Karen Langley says while investors have been reacting to the Fed raising rates this week, they're also bracing for more to come.
The really big declines that we've seen today in the market could really kick next week off in a pretty negative tone as investors confront the final week of the third quarter of 2022, which obviously has been a pretty tough year so far for stocks. And we'll just see what the markets have in store for those last few days of September and last few days of the quarter.
Investors are reacting to global signs of economic strain as well. Data out Friday showed economic activity in Europe declined sharply in September. The Eurozone's industrial output shrank 2.4% in July from a year earlier. Climbing energy costs are throttling manufacturers. In the UK, the pound dropped to its lowest level since 1985 after the government proposed tax cuts to restart growth. Economic growth also weakened in major Asian countries as demand for electronics tumbles in Western nations. The Japanese yen continued to slide against the dollar, just a day after Tokyo intervened to boost the yen for the first time since the 1990s. Russia's neighbors in the EU say they won't welcome Russian men fleeing to avoid being drafted to fight in the war in Ukraine. Poland, Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania, who all share land borders with Russia, have ruled out expanding their asylum rules for Russians who want to elude President Vladimir Putin's mass mobilization. Most plane and rail connections with the European Union have been severed by sanctions, and flights to non-EU countries have shot up in price or sold out since Putin announced the draft of as many as 300,000 reservists. People who refuse the draft face up to 10 years in prison. Eastern Canada is bracing for impact from Hurricane Fiona in what forecasters said could be a once-in-a-lifetime storm. Fiona is expected to make landfall in Canada tomorrow. Last weekend, the storm knocked out electricity in Puerto Rico before swirling up the East Coast. Hurricanes usually arrive in Canada once they've weakened, but forecasters warn Fiona could cause waves as high as 65 feet, leading to power outages and significant damage. A federal judge has approved the merger of two giant sugar companies, U.S. Sugar and Imperial Sugar, overturning a Justice Department antitrust challenge to the case. Last November, the DOJ argued the merger would result in higher prices for consumers in the Southeast, where the two companies are based. This ruling is the DOJ's second loss this week in a merger case after a D.C. judge rejected a challenge to United Health Group's $13 billion acquisition of health tech firm Change. Under the Biden administration, antitrust officials had pledged to take a harder line on corporate deal-making. A shortage of Moderna's updated booster shots is leading some pharmacies and vaccine providers to cancel appointments or only offer shots from Pfizer-BioNTech. Moderna says 10 million doses were held up over a production issue, but that the company aims to resolve the problem in the coming days. And the NFL announced a multi-year deal with Apple Music to be the new sponsor of its extravagant Super Bowl halftime show. The streaming service replaces longtime sponsor Pepsi, which first backed the show in 2012 as part of a decade-long partnership worth $2.3 billion. The next NFL championship will be played in Glendale, Arizona, but the league hasn't yet announced which musical act will be performing. Coming up, House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy was in Pennsylvania today making the GOP's case to American voters. Can a cohesive party platform help Republicans flip the House? That's coming up after the break.
This spot is brought to you by Eaton Vance, the symbol of advanced investing. What's inside your ETF? With Eaton Vance High Yield ETF, you know. Inside, you'll find smart bond selection from a specialized team with deep fixed income expertise. Get to know what's inside EVHY, the symbol of high yield done right, at eatonvance.com/symbols. Before investing, prospective investors should carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. The current prospectus contains this and other information and is available at eatonvance.com. Read the prospectus carefully before investing. Not FDIC insured. Offer no bank guarantee. May lose value. Not insured by any federal government agency. Not a deposit. Investments involve risk. Principal loss is possible. Distributed by Foreside Fund Services, LLC.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome your next House Republican majority.
Republican leaders in the House of Representatives took the stage in Western Pennsylvania today to roll out a platform they're calling the Commitment to America. Here's House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy of California.
We want an economy that is strong. That means you can fill up your tank. You can buy the groceries. You have enough money left over to go to Disneyland and save for a future. That the paychecks grow, they no longer shrink.
McCarthy is favored to become House Speaker if Republicans flip control of the House in the midterms. Pennsylvania is a key state on the map for that. There are four House seats up for grabs, as well as a Senate seat and the governor's mansion. Our reporter, Natalie Andrews, heard the speeches live in person, and she joins me now from Monongahela, Pennsylvania. Hello, Natalie.
Hello.
The GOP is calling this the Commitment to America. Tell us some of the main points of that commitment.
Yes, this Commitment to America is this policy plan. It has four main themes. The first is building a strong economy focused on fighting inflation and curbing government spending. The second is about safety, which talks about reducing crime and securing the southern border. The third is freedom themed, and it talks about a parent's bill of rights in understanding the school curriculum, allowing only women to play in women's sports, and confronting big tech. And four, focused on accountable government, which is a nod to the oversight of Biden administration officials that Republicans plan to do if they win the majority.
Natalie, you're in Pennsylvania. It's one of the most hotly contested states in the nation. And this district that you're in, Washington County, voted for former President Donald Trump in the last two elections. How did the people at this event respond to the Republican agenda they heard?
This is an area that voted for Democrats until 2008. And part of that reason was they felt forgotten. And they are wanting to see Republicans continue what they feel like Trump started. They asked McCarthy what he would do to close down the southern border. And in terms of bringing fentanyl and drugs across the border, they wanted to know their plan for that. And there were a lot of parents who were concerned about what had happened to their children who were in school during COVID, who they were now behind. And McCarthy's plan encompasses really all of that. And he got a lot of applause when he talked about wanting to give parents a bill of rights to understand the curriculum in their school.
Natalie, this GOP strategy is one we've seen before. Newt Gingrich had a contract with America and Republicans used it in 1994 to win the House majority. Do you think they can repeat that success?
Republicans are favored to win the majority, and part of that is because the majority is razor thin right now. Democrats have 221 seats, Republicans have 212, and there are two vacancies. If Republicans can pick up a few seats, they also have redistricting on their side, which has put some seats more in their favor. If they can pick a few toss-ups out around the country and keep what they do hold, they will have a good chance of picking up the majority.
Let's talk about McCarthy himself. He is an ally of Trump, and you've spent some time with him in recent weeks. You had a chance to ask him about January 6th, when he was dialing into the White House to try to get help in controlling the violent mob that stormed the Capitol, even as Trump did nothing. How did McCarthy talk about his actions that day, and what kind of influence Trump might have if McCarthy becomes House Speaker?
Kevin McCarthy has chosen to align himself with Trump and candidates that Trump is backing. The Trump endorsement really matters around the country in a lot of these House primaries and House races. And so they have worked together in several places to get people through primaries. I've asked Kevin McCarthy if he has any regrets on how he handled January 6th and the weeks following, in which it was really a question as to what the Republican Party would do with the outgoing president. And he has no regrets. He says he has some disagreements, but he has a policy of never criticizing Trump publicly.
Do you get the sense if Kevin McCarthy becomes House Speaker, is the Republican Party right now fully aligned with the Trump wing of the party, or do you see big divisions there that would make it difficult for them to govern?
Kevin McCarthy is going to have a tough job if he becomes House Speaker. Kevin McCarthy is coming in to a group of House Republicans that are extremely frustrated with Democrats. They want to pass legislation, but any legislation the House passes is going to hit a wall in the Senate where you need 60 votes to pass bills, and then with President Biden at the end. What's going to matter is spending bills and keeping the government open. And I've talked to several House Republicans about voting for spending bills. And a lot of them think that they should leverage government shutdowns. A lot of them think that they should not increase spending and hold the line. And that's going to be very hard for Kevin McCarthy as a speaker, where he will need to work with Democrats. In the past, when Republican speakers have sought out Democrats to help them keep the government open, their party has turned against them.
What kind of Democratic reactions have we heard to the commitment to America?
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi called the Republican plan today too extreme and alarming. She talked about the abortion point of the proposal, especially because Democrats are outrunning on a woman's right to an abortion. They are attacking the Supreme Court ruling. They're talking about wanting to codify abortion rights if they win more seats in Congress. And they feel, because they've recently won two special election seats, that could be a winning argument for them.
Natalie Andrews, congressional reporter for The Wall Street Journal, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
And finally, today kicks off a three-day auction of the estate of America's beloved golden girl, the late Betty White. White died last year, just days before her 100th birthday, and her illustrious career spanned nearly seven decades. Among the more than 1,600 pieces on the block are items like the first draft script of the Golden Girls pilot, to things like cat jewelry, a desk organizer, and the bright yellow front door of her home. Organizers of the estate sale have been very conservative on how much these items could go for. Our reporter Jennifer Kalfas says they have no idea how much the Betty White factor might add.
So a collection of her cat figurines could go for anywhere from $200 to $400. But bids could actually end up being higher than or much higher than that. And that is just something that's a little bit unpredictable, because we don't know what that Betty White factor can bring in terms of how much this can go for.
White's estate says the proceeds from this auction will go to animal and environmental charities that she had been working with throughout her life. And that's What's News for this week. I'm Daniela Cheslow. Our regular hosts are Anne-Marie Fertoli and Luke Vargas. The show was produced by Anthony Bansi and Mohsen Ali, with help from Kate Bullivant, Julie Chang, Zoe Thomas, and J.R. Whalen, and editorial support from Kateri Yoakum, Michael Kosmidis, and Chris Zinsley. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. We'll be back on Monday morning. Thank you for listening.